And joining us today on Focus on Campus is Dr. Aaron Velasco. Dr. Velasco is with the Department of Geology here on campus. He is also with a GK-12 program, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But we also have students Anais Martinez and Richard Alfaro. Thank you very much for being with us here today. First of all, let's start with you, Aaron. If you wouldn't mind explaining, I mentioned the GK-12 program. And that may sound like a lot of initials and acronyms, all that stuff, but it's something really good.
Yes, it's a program that's funded by the National Science Foundation. It's called GK, which stands for Graduate K through 12 Education. Now, the foundation of the program is to actually give fellows or graduate students experience in teaching, but also in to better communicate their science. The NSF long recognized that part of the graduate training is purely a science degree, and we don't really train graduate students to, number one, teach and or communicate their science to a lay audience. So this program is specifically to broaden their skills. We proposed a program, now it's on the order of 6 years ago, and this is the end of the program, where we fund 9 graduate students per semester to go into early college high schools. And those are schools that are designed for students that would not traditionally go to college. But by the time they graduate, they'll have an associate's degree and a high school diploma. So the fellow is a role model, and they also bring in their science into the classroom. And we call them scientists in residence, and that was the design of the program. And whenever you write a proposal to the National Science Foundation for a particular program, it's up to you how you design that program. So our program was designed for early college high schools and for a diverse set of graduate students, PhD students. And when we first got awarded, I was told by the National Science Foundation that this was a high-risk program, and I think it was high risk because they had never had any experience with early college high schools, and also we targeted minority graduate students, PhD students, and so this is what the program was about. I myself think it's been a highly successful program. Students that come out of the program are not only better communicators, but I would say better scientists.
And when you're talking about scientists, is it specifically just for geological sciences, or does
no? Matter? This covers the College of Science, really, and our students that are here today, in fact, exemplify that.
So let's talk with first Richard Alfaro. If you could tell us a little bit about your involvement with this program and how it's helped you out.
Well, as a scientist in residence, I've been able to actually take my research that I've done over the years and present it to these high school students, students that have never seen, in my case, they've never seen geologic research or geophysics research. And so I'd bring stuff like my research in seismology that I'm doing into the classroom, and you'd be surprised how amazed they are. And they just would have never thought that someone that's like them, that was born in, that was raised in El Paso,
would be
exposed to that level of research.
Now, what I'm glad that you mentioned seismology, because a lot of people, probably think, wait a minute, we don't get earthquakes here in El Paso, and yet we do, but we also have a seismology department or little program up on the hill, right?
Yeah, that's the Kid Seismic Station.
So tell us, what exactly do you go when you tell these students, what kind of questions are they wanting to know?
Well, I mean, they ask, if we're ever going to have an earthquake in El Paso, and I tell them it's possible in the future. I mean, it's very likely. But it's nothing you need to worry about right now. Dr. Velasco might have a little more to say on that.
But I guess what you're doing is like this, preparing them, for the future. We're not going to have an earthquake right now, but in the future. But then they're also being prepared for if they decide to go on to college or further their education after high school, correct?
Well, what I've been able to do is show them what they can actually do while they're getting their degree. So as an undergraduate, I had this amazing opportunity to actually do undergraduate research in Costa Rica. And so when I bring this research into the classroom and I show them, hey, look, if you go into the sciences, you get these amazing opportunities to travel across the world and you can make this huge impact, not just in the U.S., but in another country. And they're just, they're amazed by that and, you know, inspired. I had a student come up to me a few weeks ago and tell me that he's going to go into geology because of all the stuff I've presented over the past year and a half.
Well, Anais Martinez is also with us today. And Anais, it must just be great to be able to learn and share all this with other students.
It really is wonderful. I'm coming from the biology department, so when I get to step into these high school classrooms, I get to show them my research has to do with neuroscience. And I think the word neuroscience just immediately excites them. And it's surprising to see how little they realize that research is a major component at UTEP, that they have access to a really large array of research topics. So when I get to talk to them about the research that I do, that we study brain circuits, they get thrilled. They ask me questions about themselves. Why is it that I get so anxious before an exam? Why is it that caffeine makes me so hyper? Why does my mom forget things as she gets older? So it really piques their interest, and they get really inquisitive, and then they want to know more about the opportunities that they have. So getting to be a part of that, it's pretty remarkable.
And as Richard mentioned earlier, the fact that these young people get exposed to something like this and learning about the brain and how it works, and gosh, if the Scarecrow had been here, he wouldn't have had to see the Wizard. He could have talked to you. So when these young people ask and you show them how the brain works, the different circuits and neuroscience, I'm sure that they're probably blown away because going, wow, all that happens in our brain?
It really does blow them away. I think they first get amazed. I bring tissue into the classroom, and they get to play with a couple brain slices from a rat. And they're just thrilled, like, oh, my goodness, this is incredible. How do you do this on a daily basis? How do you then study individual cells? Because to them it just looks like a piece of gray blob. And it's what's really cool when they get to try to do it themselves, and then they start to ask the next fundamental questions of, well, how do you know where you are in the brain? And seeing them make that connection on their own really shows you how incorporating research can develop their own critical thinking skills, as opposed to having them memorize, but having them develop their own interests and their own questions. So that's been great. And then more than anything, most of the students are interested in going to medical school. But once you start talking about research to them in the classroom, you can immediately see that there's a shift in their thinking. And I think it's just because they don't know what opportunities they have. And being a scientist in residence gives you that opportunity to really shed light on these amazing career paths that's out there for them.
I think you may have raised the antennas of our listeners when you mentioned the brains tissue that you take into the class. And did you say brains from Iraq or from Iran? What did you say?
No, from a rat.
Oh, okay.
That'd be crazy.
Okay. Okay. And so what do they learn from seeing these specific tissue samples?
They get to see how we can use an animal model to really better understand diseases, how we can optimize the amount of data that we can take from a single piece of tissue, and just basically how we do it. How do you take a piece of tissue and then draw information from it? I think it's hard to understand how neuroscience research is done in general if you don't have a basic understanding. So to present them the physical aspects of it and take them through the process really makes it seem more feasible and something that they could do for themselves.
Erin, as far as you working with these students, as we've just heard from Richard and Anais, that, they're studying science, but different types of science, and you work with a various number of students. Tell us a little bit about how you, when you bring them all together and some of the different ideas that are thrown at you, and perhaps you share with them as far as them sharing with high school students.
Well, I think there's another component of the program that has really done, it's another aspect that really opens their world, and that is we fund field trips every fellow is required to do at least one field trip per year, and that's generally now it's at least 2 to 3 field trips, and we've done that for over the years. And so the wonderful thing about that is that students, number one, get exposed to what's around, what the science is around. They also get exposed to the different types of things you can do. We just held our last sort of GK-12 field trip recently. We brought them here to UTEP, partly to really show that the graduate students in our program, the fellows, are leading-edge researchers, and so that they can appreciate that. Having the field trips, we've done some things where overnight field trips to Prude Ranch near Fort Davis. And again, it's to expose these students that normally wouldn't be exposed to science. Now, what I always emphasize to my students is that, we build textbooks based on science. Do you think those textbooks will be the same in 20 years? And the answer is absolutely not. So these kids are getting exposure to stuff that even our undergraduates don't get sometimes exposed to this. And so that's what I think is really innovative about this. The other component is that we have teachers that are part of the program that host the fellows. And so they're very much part of the program. And they, mentor the students in the classroom and are able to really and they've learned too. And I like to tell people that I've learned a tremendous amount about how to teach, and I've improved my own teaching as they have shown, the fellows have shown us, how to do things with students and stuff. And the fellows are the cream of the crop. They are incredible scientists, but they've really become incredible communicators. And I think that's really, it's not only inspiring, but it helps them down the road with their ability to communicate. I've had former GK-12 fellows earn top awards at conferences for their presentations, and it just it shows them another world. But the impact is way beyond them. I mean, and we don't really measure the impact on the students. We really try. The program is about the fellows, but as I mentioned before, there's hundreds and hundreds of students that have been inspired by our fellows.
For the benefit of our listeners, parents, or even some of the students who may be interested about being a part of this, how does one find out if their high school is participating or how they can team up and be part of this?
Well, the NSF program GK-12 is no longer. They've actually terminated that program, and this grant really expires early next year. We are looking at other opportunities, and we've really built that bridge, I think, between the early college high schools and UTEP, not just us, our program, but UTEP in general. The administration has been very supportive of those programs. I would love to continue that, and we're looking for other opportunities to fund students to do that. And the students are funded well to do this sort of aspect, but again, it's about their growth, but the impact on the community is really tremendous.
One of the things that you brought up earlier, the fact that, you go on field trips and the students may look at Fort Davis and find out something that perhaps they didn't know. But not just that, the fact that, this is all around us and yet, we didn't know about it. But then you're also looking at UTEP and here on campus and people go, wow, I didn't know that kind of research was going on, like mm-hmm. Anais mentioned, or Richard, and people go, well, I just see these buildings and it's a beautiful campus, but they don't know what's going on, the research in those labs.
Well, and again, articulating what research is, I mean, it's about gaining new knowledge. I mean, how exciting is that? And that's the thing I think that inspires them. A lot of students think that success in academics is becoming a doctor and a lawyer. But becoming a scientist is something that's not even part of our dialogue. And I think that this really changes that. And I would love to continue this program, and we'll see down the road what happens. But I think in general, exposing students to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, is critical for this area. And we just don't expose our kids enough to it.
That used to be the case before when you would ask young people what they want to be when they grow up. They would say, I want to be a scientist, or I want to be an astronaut, or like my little one, she wants to be a fireman, when she was little, and also being a teacher. And those things have changed, But at the same time, with programs like yours, they're coming back again and look, telling people, look, science is open and you can do all this. And Cokie Roberts, who is one of the people who work for NPR, and she's written several books about women, founding mothers, first ladies. And one of the books that I just finished reading is about women and their role in the Civil War. While everybody, the men were out fighting, these women were learning about science, about mechanics and everything, like Rosie the Riveter during World War II. So we want to thank you very much for sharing all this with us. And for the benefit of our listening audience, if you wouldn't mind sharing a website or where people can go to find out more about this.
The program itself, we have our own website. It's gk12.utep.edu, and that has sort of a description of what we're about and the fellows, and has a sort of profile of each one of the fellows. And I encourage anyone that has any questions to contact me directly.
Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Anais Martinez, Richard Alfaro, and Dr. Aaron Velasco with the GK12 program. And Aaron, if you wouldn't mind giving us a phone number where they could go to contact you, or do they contact you right off the webpage?
They can contact me right off the webpage, but my office phone number is 915-747-5101.
That number again is 747-5101. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, DJ Orozco. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.